Blog Talk Radio.
Now you see that? That's loyalty. When people come to a show in frigid temperatures, right? Is that something? Are you proud of yourself, Elite Ziegelman?
Oh, but they came to see me.
That is wonderful. Welcome, people. Happy Wednesday, 1 o'clock. Thank you for joining us. On as always for the past 3 years. Thank you for joining us, and especially on a day like this.
Well, it's not as bad as yesterday.
It's funny because we have been so spoiled with the balmy temperatures that we've been having that it just seemed like such culture shock. The other morning when I woke up and it was, I think it was like 19 degrees, 12, something ridiculous, 19 degrees.
Like, yeah, with the wind chill. -6.
Yeah, right? But then you realize that after all, it is January. And, you know, we have to keep that in perspective. It's January. So we're going to get the snow. We're going to get the winds.
We're going to get the winter weather.
Until we don't anymore. And believe me, it'll happen a lot quicker. Just like it seems like right yesterday we were talking about how hot it was.
Yeah.
It seems like it was yesterday. So it'll go just as quickly.
No, it will.
And before you know, those beautiful spring flowers and allergies happening and all the beautiful
things.
I've been
having winter allergies.
It seems like they don't go away anymore.
Ever. I'm sneezing in the day, I'm sneezing in the afternoon, I'm sneezing in the evening, my nose running. I'm always having tissues in my hands.
Well, you know what? I want to introduce the people that are doing the sneezing for the people that are listening in for the first time. Lori Towers is me.
Okay.
Elite Ziegelman is she.
She don't really care about me.
Where's your heart? What happened?
No, I feel like I'm in the corner all alone. Nobody's listening to me.
Well, then bring your harp out, darling. Wait, I'll do it again. Come on, I'll do it again. There we go. Elite Ziegelman is she, and... All right, see, I... The Bridal Body Shop is who we are.
And I thought you were going to say Lori Towers is you.
I already did that. We already passed all that. Do you like the way I did this? Because usually I say Lori Towers is me, Elite Ziegelman is she, Bridal Body Shop are we. I liked it better when the is was in there, but that is grammatically incorrect. So I changed it to got the is in there, and then the Bridal Body Shop is who we are. So
is it with it?
And thank you for joining us.
Yeah.
And we take a serious topic, which is fitness, and we hope that we make it digestible, enjoyable, and something that you look at more in an embracing way, and something that isn't this weird thing or this chore that you have to do, because it doesn't have to be.
It shouldn't be.
It
should be part of your life.
And
that's what we're trying to...
On a daily basis. It's
move your body.
One per customer. And this is what we do. And our show has been going strong for 3 years. And we hope to be here as long as we have an audience. And the audience seems to be growing and growing weekly. And we thank you for it. Today's show is, let me tell you something, Elite.
Tell me.
I love a multi-layered show. And I have a feeling this show is going to go this way. Our guest that will be coming on with us in a few minutes, a lot of people might know his name, Peter Shankman. He's a best-selling author, entrepreneur, social media whiz. He is really the cutting edge of PR, and he has just been really, really just running his own track with all his businesses and everything he does. And he speaks all over the country. And what he does is he's radically changing the way people look at social media globally. But not only that, he's changing the way people look at ADHD, which is, you know what, it's funny because things that have been, you know, you and I are the same age, and we're a little older than him, but things that we have known from childhood, little things that separate people, make people a little different, and unfortunately cause stigmas.
Yeah.
Now what's nice about the dialogue that we have nowadays is everything is open. Sometimes it's a bit much, but I think bringing attention to things and putting it in a different light and making people see, okay, it's not this, it's that. And that's this is becoming a very hot topic, and I love it, because what's going to encourage the movement of this is that kids are going to learn about themselves more and know that everybody is pretty much the same. We just sometimes go about it differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that because when you and I were growing up, it was definitely a different tone of things, because you and I were going to school in the early 70s and late 60s. So now the dialogue is I think more embracing, and it's a softer dialogue, and it's encouraging people. But this is...
Are you saying a dialogue, or are you saying it's a diagnosed?
No, the dialogue that we're having about
that,
this.
But now
well,
people
you know
are
what?
Diagnosed
see,
with all of these different
it's,
ailments.
You know, see, the one thing about a diagnosis is, I'm coming from a different standpoint with this, is everybody could see a feature of themselves and then throw themselves under that diagnosis.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes a diagnosis needs to be flexible, and it doesn't need to be as well structured, because there are so many different features of so many different conditions that you could say, oh, that's me. Yeah. Oh, that's me. I mean, I remember I was looking over my husband's shoulder once, and we were looking at different, I forgot why we were doing this, but we were looking at different things in clinical psychology. And I think we were looking at borderline disorder or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm looking over his shoulder, and like to myself, I'm saying, oh my God, do I have that? Is that me? Is that? Because you could see it, and you start getting paranoid. You could see, oh, that's kind of me. No, that's kind of me. Ooh.
Right.
So this is like a nice dialogue to have. But this guy is just so interesting. Like I said, Zombie Loyalist was a bestseller. He's got so many books out about PR, and he's just an amazing, amazing thinker, an amazing speaker. And I think he's on deck with us now, isn't he?
Yeah,
you want to bring him on? Peter?
Howdy, ma'am.
Hey, how are you?
Welcome.
Thank you, guys. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Welcome to the show. How are you today, Peter?
I'm good. I'm doing well. It's a lovely day. The sun is shining. I'm alive. You know, what more can I want?
And
yeah.
it's warmer today, too. It's funny because 30 degrees seems like it's, wow, you know, we
yeah.
could actually go without socks.
I ran yesterday morning at around 4:45 in the morning outside, and it was not fun.
Dawn Patrol. See, this
good
guy.
Good for you. You went
this
out
guy
there.
Is, yeah. See?
Good for you.
And that just shows you, you know, it's like when you want to do something, you do it no matter how you have to do it.
It's dedication.
You have no choice. No, it's either you do it or you don't. There's no Yoda, you know, the Yoda thing. There's no try.
Now, what we want to ask you is, because I have so many things to talk about with you, but I want you to give the audience, how did you come about this amazing thinker? And I love marketing and I love PR. And I actually started knowing this guy's name by, remember I was telling you about Harrow? It was
mm-hmm.
He was the creator
yeah.
of that. And it's Help a Reporter Out, which I think is amazing, because people run to publicists when journalists are always looking for a story to write about. And this was just an amazing, amazing structure that you created.
Well, thank you. One of the happiest moments of my life was when I walked into your office and I see all this press on the wall. I'm like, oh, how'd you get all this press? She's like, oh, I use this great thing called Harrow. I'm like, I started that.
You had
it,
no idea?
Totally made my life. I was like, someone uses my thing. It's such a great feeling. It really was. How did I start it? Well, so I talk to everyone, right? Massively ADD, massively ADHD, very outgoing. I talk to everyone. If I'm on a plane sitting next to you, literally, unless you fake your death, I'm going to find everything out about you.
You're one of those annoying people?
You know, I try to think of it as annoying. I think of it as inquisitive. And look, I get it. If you put on the headphones, that's a universal sign for leave me the fuck alone. And that's fine, too. But, you know, I like to talk to people. And so for me, it's really about I find people interesting. And it took me countless years to learn this, but I finally learned that it's a lot more exciting to listen to people than it is to talk, to let other people talk. Because we don't do that. Most most of the time in our lives, we're listening for a break in the conversation so we can talk more about ourselves. And that's a mistake.
Sure.
And so I like listening, and it's amazing what you learn when you listen to people. So always listening to people, you know, I just talk to everyone. And so I ran a PR firm back in the 90s, the dot-com day, in the late 90s, in the dot-com boom days. And I was working with reporters, and reporters, they're always looking for sources on deadline, and they're always trying to do more with less. That's never been more true than now. So, you know, reporters would call me. I just started saying, hey, you know, I know people. Feel free to reach out if I can ever find someone for you, or you need a source, whatever. And, you know, it's nice to be nice. The universe is, the universe needs good karma and balance. I'm a skydiver also in my spare time. I had about 500 jumps. You don't want bad karma to catch up to you when you're in the middle of a jump. So I believe in good karma. I believe the universe unfolds the way it should. And you can do what you can to improve that. And so I would just tell reporters, you know, hey, if you ever need a source, reach out. I know a lot of people. And they would. And over time, they started reaching out a bit much and like a bit too much and about too much and too much and too much. And finally, the straw that broke the camel's back was the reporter who called me. Peter, hey, I got your name from another reporter. I'm doing a story on Nigerian farming. And my friend said you had a ton of friends who are sub-Saharan soil experts. And I'm looking at the phone like, okay, I don't know how to answer that.
Uh-huh.
You know, and like a day, like 8 hours later, I was able to find some friend of a friend of a friend of a friend who worked at USC, who was like, who worked in like agriculture. Like, this just takes way too long.
Yeah,
and I couldn't get any work done. So
yeah.
I'm like, let me build a Facebook group where I could just forward these requests out to my friends. Well, the Facebook group, we blew up, and it took about, I think, 2 weeks, and we surpassed the number of people that you could have in a Facebook group. And from there, I moved to the web, and I launched a website called Help a Reporter, where anyone could sign up and get
a story.
Queries from journalists. Yeah, and if you had an answer, you could get it. And within a year, we had about 250,000 members using the site. We were like we won all sorts of awards, like the Mashable's, you know, Best in Show, and all these different things. And 2 years into building it, we had a 250,000 people. Yeah, 100,000 people the first year, 250 the second year.
Mm-hmm.
We were sending out 3 emails a day to 250,000 people with, you know, with a 79% email open rate, which was just obscene, never before, never again will be reached. And about 2.5 years after I started, it was acquired by a company for a decent amount of money, and it sort of changed the game for me because it allowed me to focus on what I really like to do, which is, like I said, helping people and doing good things. And it was just exciting to be able to you know, right now I live a life where I can create good things for good people, and I can help people. I launched this wonderful mastermind that I'm currently running, this virtual mastermind called Shank Minds, and it's shankminds.com/breakthrough. And, you know, I get about 100-something people in there where, you know, every day we share content, and we've really formed a community, and it's just exciting. So I spend a lot of my time on the road. I'm a public speaker, and I write books, and my spare time I have a gorgeous 2.5-year-old daughter who I just love hanging out with, and a wife, and 2 cats, and I'm on a plane a lot, and I'm running, and this is the year that I'm getting in great shape. I've dropped about 40 pounds, training for some marathons.
Yeah,
just having fun.
Nice.
I'm very fortunate. I'm very blessed, and just try to give back as much as I can.
Knock wood. But you know what? I wonder, because you definitely have a music background too. So how did you get on this particular track?
I have a damn clue. You know, I think that a lot of it, I don't know. I mean, I think for me, I was always very different, and this is where ADD really comes into play. I was always very different, and my parents were both teachers, music teachers, and I did grow up in the music background. you know, if ADD had a name back in the 70s and 80s, it would be, you know, very clear that I had it. You know, I couldn't sit and force myself. It was impossible to try and get me to actually learn how to sight read, right? But if I'd hear the song once, I could pick it out by ear and I'd fake it. You know, it's that kind of thing. Drove my parents up a wall.
I could imagine.
Nothing worse for 2 music teachers than a son who doesn't want to learn how to read music and fakes every song and has perfect pitch, right? So, you know, for me, it was really about when I got out into the real world, my first job was at America Online, and I spent 2.5 years with them, and it was an amazing experience. And then I went to my second job, and I lasted like 4 days because it wasn't as much fun, and it was very rigid, and we had to fill out, I'm like, timesheets? You're going to be kidding me, you know? And I just realized that I probably don't work well in environments like that. And I, you know, a lot of people spend their entire lives miserable at work because they don't know they can do better. And I took the risk one day, and I said, I'm going to try to start my own company. And I carried a mantra with me. I incorporated in October 29th, 1998, and I have carried this mantra with me since that day. If this fails, I'll just go get a job. And I have been fortunate and blessed and worked my ass off, but, you know, so lucky that in 18 years, not only has it not failed, but it's done pretty well, and it's never once felt like work.
It's not a job.
Never felt like work.
Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
They say if you enjoy what you do,
never work a day in your life. Yeah. That's not to say that I don't, and I'm not busting my ass. Quite frankly, I'm probably working harder than 90% of the people that have office jobs. But when you love it.
But you love it, right? It's not working hard.
You know what I think the worst thing that somebody could have, and again, everybody who like went to college and pursued a career in music, especially, or the arts, you know, everybody was told, okay, but, you know, take a city job because at least you have a backup. I think a safety net is probably the worst thing that could happen to you creatively because you know it's there, and you know that you could rely on it. So you're not really forced to say, look, it's sink or swim, and I'm going to swim. You know there's somebody there to catch you. You have a soft landing.
I think that, you know, I was very fortunate. My parents were always around, and they would help me if I needed it. But, you know, on the flip side, when you know, being the son of two Jewish parents, the last thing you want to do is disappoint them. And
right.
So, you know, I remember when I started my first company on my own in 98, it was the summer of 98, and the movie Titanic was coming in on video, and I had no money. And I wanted to make some money to start a PR firm. I took my rent money, and on a whim, I had 500 T-shirts printed up. The 500 T-shirts read, "It's thank, get over it." And I figured if I could sell 180 shirts and I'd break even and I'd get my rent money back. And if not, I wasn't going to be homeless. And I knew my parents would help me. But, you know, again, moving back in with my parents at 26, whatever, I probably would have preferred to be homeless. So for me, it was, let's see if I can. And I figured it'd take a week to sell 180 shirts and make my rent money back. I sold 500 shirts in 6 hours the first
time. Wow.
And I came home. I threw $5,000 up in the air and rolled around it naked. You'll never get that image out of your head. Good luck with that. I then called the reporter I knew at USA Today, and I said, hey, I just did something really funny. And, you know, she said, holy crap, that's hysterical. Are you selling the shirts online now? And I went, you know, of course I am, and built the world's worst website in like 5 seconds. You know, I'm a big believer in you say yes and figure out how to do it later. And she said, okay, we'll see what we can do. And I immediately forgot about it because of my massive ADHD. And the next morning I wake up at like 5:30 in the morning. My phone's ringing. It's my hosting provider. Mr. Shankman, sorry to call you so early. We started advertising. I go, no, what the hell? It's 5:30 in the morning. What the hell? I said, sir, normally you get about 100 visitors a day to your website, and most of them are you. I'm like, great, thank you for that.
Wow.
He said, so you've had over 37,000 unique visitors to your website in the last 2 hours. You've crashed our first, second, and third primary servers. You're about to take down our fourth, fifth, and sixth, so we only have seven. I'd love to know what's going on here. Story broke on the front page yesterday, and it listed the website. And in 2 months, I sold about 10,000 shirts on the web, cleared 100 grand. I took my dad's students who were supposed to be in detention, and instead of detention, he sent them to my apartment every night, and I bought them pizza, and they helped box up T-shirts and take them to the post office. It was like P. Diddy's studio sweatshop apartment. But it was ridiculous, and it was just one of those things where I'm going to give this a shot, and if it doesn't work, I'll be wiser for having learned a lesson. But I got very lucky; it worked.
See, but you have to be a certain type of thinker. You know what I'm saying? You have to be a couple of steps ahead, a finger on the pulse of whatever might be the trend. So, what would you tell somebody who's just coming to me and wants? They have a product they're really not sure of how to go about. So, I mean, everybody has like that Ralph Cramden's get rich quick scheme. Everybody lives for that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So what do you tell the people that you speak to that have something they don't really know how to develop it and want to be where you are?
I think the best advice I can give is just try. You know, so many things fail because, not because they're bad ideas, but because someone said to you, oh, that'll never work, and you believe them. Believing, you know, try it and fail. I'd never hire anyone that's never failed.
Right.
I want you to fail. If you fail, that means you're learning something. You know, that I love seeing people who get like Twitter shamed, right? They get made fun of because they did something stupid and it was caught publicly. I'll hire those people in a heart because I guarantee they'll never do it again.
Right. Yeah. Well, you know, the truth is, it's very, very hard to go out there, especially with social media. Now, people in their 30s, people in their 20s, they navigate it. It's in their genetics. It's in their gene pool. People in their 50s, people in the 40s, it's an animal that we really don't understand, and there's so many different things happening every day with it that it's, you know, I rely on my younger staff to steer me in the right direction of social media.
Yep.
Honestly, I want to be involved, but there's just so much, and it's so fast-paced.
Well, I think the key is, you know, find out what works for you, and more importantly, what works for your audience. You know, you want to know what you're doing, and sort of what where your audience is. You know, if your audience is entirely on Facebook and you're advertising on Twitter, well, you're an idiot. You know, so the best thing you could do, understand your audience. Having an audience is a privilege. It's not a right. It's exactly like wearing spandex, right? I don't have the right to wear spandex. If I work out really hard and I train for a race, the day I do that race, I've earned the privilege to wear spandex. The second the race is over, some guy comes up to me, sir, your race is over. Now you have to put on this big bulky T-shirt. Okay, that's fine. But it's the same thing with an audience. You have the right to create great stuff, but it's a privilege to get an audience, and you have to respect your audience.
Yeah. See, what I'm thinking about with when you develop tarot, do you know offhand, I mean, anybody who's had their finger in the pot of PR knows that you could be spending thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars a month for something that might be hit or miss. And people have done it. People go, you have a publicist, and you pay them X amount, and you may get a story, you may not get a story. I'm wondering, because this service is absolutely wonderful, and I still use it to today, have you put any public relation firms out of business? Because this brings the journalist to you.
I haven't put any PR firms out of business, but I have fundamentally changed the model. So there used to be a service called PropNet. I think it still exists, which would charge you like $3,000 a year for the same queries that I was giving you for free.
Right.
So it was definitely a disruption in that regard. You know, I think that every PR firm in the world uses tarot. There's no question about that. And so I think I haven't put them out of business, but I think I've made them work harder because now every normal person can realize, hey, I might not need a PR firm. Now, that being said, there are still a lot of people who do need a PR firm.
Yeah.
You know, you need to... If you have a company and you're not good at PR, yeah, it's great to have a PR firm who can do that stuff for you. But I think I've made it much easier for PR firms. I've made it required for PR firms to be accountable. Put it that way.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're working on a new book. Tell us a little bit about that.
I'm working on several books. Yeah, so I'm working on a book. I'm working on one about how I use my ADD to my advantage. And then I'm working on a follow-up to Zombie Loyalists as well, which is more customer service stories from the front lines.
So tell us a little about, I mean, just give us, I mean, what I think we want to know is how did you, I mean, I don't like the word different. I'm trying to find.
Oh, I do.
But
I love the
you
word.
Know what I'm saying? Because I don't
I know
want
exactly.
anybody to feel pigeonholed. Is it because
nope,
you feel different, though?
I think that the word that scares me the most is the same.
Yeah.
You know, I like being different. Now, as a kid, being different sucked ass.
Mm, yeah.
Okay? Because I came home every day after getting the shit kicked out of me because I was different. That was horrible. But once I learned that I could use that to my advantage, it's a great quote from Tyrion Lannister in Game of Thrones. Hang on. Quote, something about weakness. Wear it like armor. That's what it is. The quote is, let me give you some advice, you bastard. Never forget what you are. The rest of the world will not. Wear it like armor, and it can never be used to hurt you.
Yeah, nice.
That is just, I mean, God, that's so powerful. The concept of being able to remember what you are. And you know what? If you're different, man, embrace that shit.
Yeah.
You know, own that. A million times own that. And make sure that you are the one who is in charge of your destiny. And there's nothing wrong with being different. Embrace that and use it to the best of your advantage. And if you have an idea and everyone thinks you're crazy, but you want to do something, do it and work really freaking hard at it and get it done. And shock every single one of them and do it because it's what you want to do.
I think the world becomes a scarier place when everybody is just like follows things like sheep. I think
Agreed.
That's a very it's really destroyed things historically. But I think that when people, especially children, are taught that, you know, everybody is different. Everybody goes about the same problem different. Everybody differently, but we could still succeed. I think that's very important, especially, again, we're both older than you. There was certainly more of a stigma when we were growing up. And I was diagnosed as being hyperactive as a kid. And, you know, this was the big day of the days of Ritalin. And I remember my mother took me to the doctor. And, you know, the family physician who did pretty much everything. He stitched you. He had the x-rays in his office. He made the house calls. And he said to my mother, you know what? Cut the sugars, watch the carbs, and just let her run around the schoolyard.
That's it.
That was it. And my mother was asking him, well, is this something that she's going to outgrow? And he said, no, it's just going to feature differently.
And you don't want to outgrow it.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
remember, I remember growing up with that same thing. My parents were, you know, I was very outgoing. I was very friendly. And it used to get me in trouble because I was always talking too much, not paying attention in class, things like that. And just to be able to understand that it's not a weakness, it's not a sign of negativity. You can actually use it to your advantage. I'm so fortunate. I hope that my kid, I don't want my kid to have the same pain that I went through, but I want her to get hurt. I want her to understand that's what makes you stronger and that you don't have to follow the herd. And I don't want her to peak in high school. I don't want her to be one of the popular kids. I want her to be amazing her entire life.
I'm gonna ask you a difficult question. Pros and cons.
Of
ADD. Pros and cons.
The pros are that you are incredibly creative and your brain is faster than the normal. So you can think faster, you can work faster, you can do things faster, you can come up with ideas and look at things in an entirely different way. You know what? I'm gonna give you a quote from a friend of mine named Edward Halliwell. He's a doctor. He's probably the foremost expert on ADD and ADHD. Dr. Halliwell is he's gifted, and he wrote a book called Delivered from Distraction. And Delivered from Distraction, the opening line, the opening paragraph of Delivered from Distraction is actually the first quote in my on my Facebook page. Having ADD or ADHD makes life paradoxical. You can super focus sometimes, but also space out when you least mean to. You can radiate confidence and also feel as insecure as a cat in a kennel. You can perform at the highest level, feeling incompetent as you do so. You can be loved by many, but feel as if no one really likes you. You can absolutely, totally intend to do something and forget to do it. You can have the greatest ideas in the world, but feel as if you can't accomplish a thing. That is my life. And that one line about you can radiate confidence and also feel as insecure as a cat in the kennel, I wake up every day and I do three things. I do three things. I say a small little prayer, sort of like a thanks for keeping me alive another day prayer. I greet the universe, good morning, and I spend the next 2 minutes willing myself to get out of bed because I am sure that today is the day that the entire world is going to find out that I am complete and utter fraud and completely full of shit.
Wow.
Every single day. It's called imposter syndrome. It's a real thing. And every day I believe that today is the day that, you know, the New York Times, I'm going to open my eyes and there's going to be 100 text messages and Facebook posts and Twitter handles because the New York Times wrote an article about what a fraud I am, or, you know, every day.
Wow.
And it's completely ridiculous.
Yeah.
Every day. There's a quote, you know, this song by Biggie, 99 Problems. There's a I have a t-shirt that says, I got 99 problems and 96 of them are made up bullshit in my head.
Well, that's a sharp pendulum swing. That's really something.
Yep. It's true. And look, I'm the first name to admit it. I'm the first person to admit it. And I am happy to be honest about it. You know, I know myself and you got to be honest. And I hope that maybe people can learn from the things that I'm dealing with. And that's why I share them. But yeah, I'm really an open book.
Now, you're very, very, very into working out at this point. Have you seen any changes in anything that you've done by committing? I mean, you were always active, but now you're a little bit more involved in working out. Have you seen any different features because of it or not?
When I get up early and I'm at the gym by like 5 a.m. or running outside by 4:45, whatever, and I'm in the office by like 6:45, I'm just a happier person. I'm a happier person. I'm more creative. I can think clearly. My brain feels like it's functioning full tilt. It's just, it's a better place to be for me. I mean, again, in spirit of full disclosure and full honesty, I quit drinking, and I'm trying to eat healthier. And there's just a feeling of wellness that comes with exercise and taking care of yourself that I never really experienced in my life before. I mean, I used to work out a lot and all that, and I stopped for a while, but I never really focused on the concept of just taking care of yourself. I used to work out because it was a way to get thin, and I like to be thin.
Right.
I enjoy working out because it's a way for me to feel better about myself. There's a great, I heard a great quote, putting on your own oxygen mask first isn't selfish, it's required. And that works in an airplane, so you can help other people, but it works in real life. If you can't take care of yourself, you can't take care of anyone else.
That's exactly right. And, you know, people don't realize, and again, we're coming from a fitness, standpoint, the privilege, it's such a liberating experience to wake up and feel good. And, you know, I remember, I always had people say, you know what, why do you have to work out like that? You watch what you eat, you're working out, you're going to die like everybody else. And my answer was always, it's not that I'm trying to dodge death. I mean, from birth, we know we're going to die. But for my time here, I'm going to be I don't want to be sitting in a doctor's office where everybody knows me because I'm there every week. I don't want to be part of that circle. Look, if something, God forbid, happens and I have to go to a doctor, that's fine. But for the most part, I want to live my life outside the office. And working out is the investment in that.
No question about it. And just to be able to, just mentally, I mean, forget about losing weight. Or forget about, I love that I'm stronger. I can pick up my daughter. But I mean, there's just such a feeling of being mentally stronger by resetting that brain every day. For someone with ADD, God, it's a game changer.
And just the endorphin rush. I mean, again, a lot of people get it more from running. And, I'm not a huge fan of running. And anybody who knows me knows that. But there is that endorphin pooling. But working out does that in general. And people, just look at it. And I watch TV, and I'm looking.
It's the best antidepressant.
It is. And people are just looking for a way to avoid it. And there's always something on the news about you could lose weight and not work. What is the worst thing? Why is it so horrible to work out for 45 minutes a day?
Because it's
why is it the worst thing in the world?
It takes energy.
The thing is, people – so I had a great quote, a friend of mine who's been in AA for like 20 years, he told me this. He goes, when I first quit drinking, someone said, you should find the time to come to a meeting every day. And he's like, oh, I don't have the time to do that. And the guy's like, well, it's funny because you have time to drink every day.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same principle. You make time for the things that are important to you. And for someone says, oh, I want to lose weight, great. Then you should go to the gym and you should watch what you eat. Oh, I don't know. Then it's not that important to you. And that's fine. But own that.
Yeah.
Don't tell me. Don't complain about it and say you don't have the time. If it's important to you, you make the time, sit in your ass and watch American Idol and eat a box of Ho-Hos every night. So that's important to you. And I'm sorry,
Ho-Hos.
But at the end of the day, that's what it is.
Ho-Hos. I forgot about Ho-Hos. Yeah, but that's right.
Yeah, people don't own their mistakes. They only own their prizes.
But the thing about our philosophy is always, once you start, and you've lost weight, Peter, once you start losing weight and you see the difference, and just by not true deprivation, just by just watching it, doing more and eating cleaner, you think twice about putting garbage in your body.
Once you have the initial start,
mm-hmm.
it's so much harder to do it. I am a huge fan of data. Men lie, women lie, businesses lie, companies lie. Data does not lie.
That's right.
And if you can, so I use a program called like MyFitnessPal, and why things, and all these different things that track my data so I can look at it every day. When I see it in front of me, I know that I'm doing something right or wrong. And I see it in front of me, and it's very hard to ignore that, and losing weight and seeing the difference, it's phenomenal. I get to see it as it's happening, and that's the motivation. That's what drives me.
And the nice thing, too, is the nuance, the little things that happen during the day that you forget, a couple of months ago I wasn't able to do this, and then all of a sudden you can. And it's like simple things. The other day in my office, somebody who is 15 years younger than me got out of the chair and made that old noise,
I think that was me.
Oi.
Lori, I think that was me. You can be honest. I think that was me.
Well, it wasn't
me. My back
you.
Is hurting, and I'm pretty sure that was me. It's okay.
But no, it's and you think, is that behavioral, or are they actually feeling that way? And when you're 15 years younger than me, unless you've gotten hit by a car and there's been severe trauma, your body should
that's
be working.
A habit. A lot of people do that habit. I do it all the time. Oi, come down.
Well,
I go up.
Right.
Oh,
this
that,
is what Jewish is.
Yeah,
right.
that's just a
my goiter.
Yeah. it's in a personality. It becomes a habit. But if you see somebody struggling to get out of the chair, you don't see them making any noise.
Right.
Well, that's, yeah.
You know?
They're usually covering their face.
Right, exactly. Those are the ones that are really true.
Train in silence, let your success make all the noise.
I think you should make a book just of your quotes.
And this guy's got some great quotes.
Well, it's everybody else's quotes. Just, you know.
Yeah, still, compiling them.
Compile them up and make a book.
Yeah, you know, look, someone once said I talk in sound bites. I think that's true. You know, I go on TV a lot. I know how to talk in sound bites, but they're valuable. They're valuable sound bites, for God's sake.
Yeah, because you do TV and you're going on too much. You see that, you know, you see the person getting their producer yelling in their ear to tell you to hurry up. So
right.
Now, before we let you go, this is the part of the show where we say
our
guests,
watch your language.
Go plug yourself.
Yeah,
if there's anything, is that funny? If there's anything that we didn't hit on that you want to give a shout out to now, now is your time.
My entire life is at www.shankman.com. I'm at Peter Shankman on all of the socials, and the mastermind group that I run that I'd love to have you join is www.shankminds.com/breakthrough.
That's it.
That's it. I'm easy.
They're talking about you're right. Life in a soundbite. That's pretty much it. Well, it was a pleasure having you, Peter. And I'm going to ask you for all this information so we could post it on our page tomorrow. So anybody who's listening and didn't get it all down now, we'll have a chance tomorrow to have another look-see.
Sounds good to me.
Thank you so much, my dear.
It's been a pleasure, Peter. Nice meeting you.
My pleasure, guys. Always a pleasure. Anytime.
Enjoy
Bye-bye.
Your day, love.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Peter Shankman. Yeah. And a very, very positive person.
Yes, exactly.
Very positive person. You know, one of these people that, and I know annoy you when I do it, but when something happens, turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I know you.
Well, we were just talking about that. It's a coping skill.
Yeah.
You
just
turn for a lot of people.
Turn it around. And you know what? You find that you are a lot more pleasant to be around.
Well, they say, you know, the secret. What is the secret? There's a.
What?
We need Peter back.
He'll know. He could get a quote. He could find
right,
it for us.
That's what I need. A quote.
Pull it back up. But the truth is, I mean, energy is contagious.
Right.
And
good
when,
energy is the best,
right.
You know, the best energy to,
when,
to be around.
When you just, I always say you suck the zen out of a room when you're like that. It's just
right.
Like, and
everybody
it
feels
throws,
it.
It throws everybody off. So I always say I would rather be part of the chain of harmony
right.
than the chain of anger. Because,
totally.
I mean, and this is, I used to tell my goddaughter years ago, because she had some anger issues. And I used to tell her, you never know where that part of the chain, where you got yelled at, so you're going to yell at me.
Right.
And somebody else is going to, you yell at somebody
mm-hmm.
else, and they're going to take it through their day. By the end of the day, you don't know if you're linked to some sort of assault or murder. You never know, because everybody affects everybody else.
Right.
So
the
law
of attraction.
That's it. That's it. But
mm-hmm.
but that's really it. So.
Right.
Stopped at the link right there. And don't get me wrong. I'm always, you know, I get angry like anybody else. Somebody pushes you on the subway, you just
mm-hmm.
want to, but then you realize, okay, it's going to make two people's days a lot worse.
Right.
If I get upset with this person, they're probably going to
especially if it's done accidental. You know,
sometimes there's, we're met with people are rushing and people
right.
are
right. I mean, you know, by accident they stepped on your
right,
foot.
Right.
By they pushed you by accident because they were just adjusting something.
Right.
Things happen.
But then there are people that literally are in a rush and they don't care, and that's what you have to like step back and say.
And
look,
then
I
they
can't.
Step on to somebody who's a tick tick boom,
that's,
and that's it.
And that's why I always say, you know, people who have road rage,
yeah.
you never know who is in the next car.
No, you got to be careful.
And what they have. And what they just walked away from.
Yep.
So I think that that's, he's a perfect example of that because he's just, you know.
Well, he sounds very uppity and up.
Yeah, and he channels his energy well. And, you know, just not everybody can. And you,
it's, no, it's very, I think it's a coping skill.
But
it's got to come from when you were younger.
Oh,
because
yeah.
something, you know, it's something that you have to learn to do.
But you know what I always think of? I always think if you took one little thing out of the equation, what would if you took one thing away from a person, what would happen? Like I always think my favorite artist, my favorite painter is Salvador Dali,
mm-hmm.
who was literally a nut. I mean, probably bipolar. I'm sure there was a myriad of psychological disorders with this man. But if you took one of them away, would he have been as creative? So it's so hard to
no,
figure out.
No, that's what makes him complete.
That's what I'm saying. So it's just like how, you know.
What we try to tell people is to be complete, but
right.
be complete as best as you can.
Yeah.
Let's not have any flaws that hurt other people.
That's exactly right.
If it hurts you, you know, hurt yourself into the point that you really don't hurt yourself, but don't put it upon anybody else.
No, of course. Of course.
So.
But it's just like you always say, like, if you take one little thing away, would it be the same person? I always say, you know,
no.
Yeah.
No, it can't be.
No. So that's
it's impossible.
It's just, you know, it's so funny because, you know, I remember when we were kids, hyperactive was considered a quote-unquote disorder,
mm-hmm.
you know? And think about how harsh that term
is. Now it's probably going to be ADHD.
Yeah,
that's how it's
but
diagnosed.
But, right, but it was a disorder, you know, and that's
yeah,
and now
I think there's too many things that is prognosed as too many as disorders.
But
it's really just something they need to grow out of.
That's
or something they just to adjust to.
That's it. It's all. But see, don't forget.
That's just another show.
The 60s was
right,
was
just another
and
show.
70s was more alarmist than it is now, and everything was like, oh my God,
no,
oh my God,
but everything was
alarmist,
but now everything is here. Take a pill. This is going to work
well,
for you.
See, that's where we.
Which
grow
is better?
Up. Both.
I think
bad.
Being an alarmist is a little better.
No, because they medicated too. Don't forget. I remember every.
But now you medicate for everything, and then you medicate for that medicine
then,
because it gives you a side effect, and
then
you have to take another one after that one.
When we were kids, and I remember this, everybody's mother and their sister was on Valium or something or Percodan. Everybody was, and I remember
mine wasn't, and she needed it.
No, yeah, that's
there
that's
you go.
It goes in another direction entirely.
That's what I'm saying.
But I remember my mother speaking to one of my brother's teachers. Who was very obviously, you know, on heavily medicated all the time.
Yeah.
And my mother said, if you don't take care of this, I'm going to speak to the principal. But because you're, yeah. But this was the norm then.
You sure it was medication, not just their personality?
No.
They needed medication.
No, it was very irrational. And my mother had gotten together with other parents who were concerned. Yeah. And yeah, but this is what we did.
Yeah.
You know, we
and the times are changing. I'm sure, you know, 10 years from now, it's going to be totally different.
But you
hopefully
know,
it won't be as medicated as we are.
But now, see, again, the medication being dispensed was always a little bit more gender specific. It was always women who get hysterical.
Well, because
know?
We get the
and
monthly thing.
That
makes us crazy.
And that's
our
why,
hormones change.
That's why,
know?
Of course, we needed Valium.
Well,
oh,
that's why
we
they actually
that.
Said they never had a woman president.
Yeah.
Okay.
And see, this is what always makes me laugh. Okay. There's never a woman president yet because of that. Yes. And it's usually the boys that are making the votes.
The only boys that are there.
But
there's
yet,
no girls.
You'll say, okay, I'm going to have children with this woman who can't obviously handle raising kids because of the pressure of that time of the month and blah blah blah. So it's like this really this double message. That's going on. We trust our women to raise our kids and stay home and do everything and not be involved, but we won't let them run the
it's
country.
It's all hypocritical.
Government.
It's hypocritical.
That's what I'm saying.
All around.
This is what I'm saying.
All around hypocritical.
So it's very sad. But, you know, again, the things that we had going on in the 60s that were considered, you know, things that gave you a little bit of a stigma. And most of the kids, I'm sure, walked away with something, feeling odd, feeling different, and in a bad way. And that's the problem. Most kids don't embrace feeling different because you, you want to be at the cool table, right? You want to be there. You don't want to...
Well, the being in the cool table, yeah, I guess.
You know, see, if you have something special about you, like you're a musician or an artist, something, being a little different, that's okay because you got a cool thing to call your own, but you never want to...
Yeah, but the musicians were always the nerds. They were never at the cool table.
No, the chess club were the nerds.
Them too. They hung out together.
Not with the musicians.
Oh, yeah. The musicians were all the nerds, too.
The computer geeks were with...
Years ago, they
chess.
Didn't have that. They had the musicians and the chess people.
I don't think the musicians hung out with the chess people. I'm just saying off the top of my head.
Well, yeah. People that played the violin and stuff like that, they were all considered the nerds.
Well, I'm talking about the guitar and everything. I'm thinking more or less.
They didn't have that in the bands
at
the schools years ago.
Oh, in the 70s they did?
Yeah.
Where were you, Ziegelman?
I was in the band. I played the clarinet.
No, well, you don't count. You're with the nerds.
No, but then I was on all the athletic teams.
You
go
sit in the other.
But
no,
balance.
But all kidding aside, it's very hard to
yes.
tell a child, you know, be your own thinker, be a trailblazer, do what you're going
to
do.
You know what? You could tell them anything you want to tell them, how you feel and you were brought up and your stories. They're going to have their own They're going to have their own story, their own feelings, their own, you know, little world that they're going to grow up in.
Yeah. But it's sad because there's like a little boy, a little girl that has might be brilliant and they just want to conform to society.
They'll always be.
Well,
no
see, I think
what.
That the fact that Peter had parents that were educators,
mm-hmm.
I think that probably was the best thing that could have happened, or maybe not. But the best thing, because they're not going to...
I'm sure that he wanted to be better at what he was because they were educated.
But no, but the thing is, there's a little bit more of a broad-minded thought with people who are educated.
Well,
not
you always
want
to make your parents proud.
Yeah. But they're not going to say they'll try to help him cultivate his different
right.
you know tendencies, as opposed to another family. What's wrong with this damn kid? Which
saying. Hopefully,
and,
parents don't do that. You know.
Well, I'm just saying voices that I've heard, not in my house, but you know. I honestly didn't hear it in my house.
I hope
but
not.
What
voices did you hear saying that?
No, actually, my mother, may her soul rest in peace, was very progressive and very, very, you know, very open and creative. And no, I never heard that. But I did hear that in my family. You know, in
right,
extended
right.
family, I did hear that. So I mean, it's. And you do
it's
damage
sad.
To a child.
Yeah, of
you
course.
You do a lot of
definitely.
Damage to a child. So, so that's very important to have books on this. And we're glad
it's
that
it's funny.
He's
the parents that push the children away all the time
uh-huh.
are the children that always love their parents the most because they never got that love and affection and they're going to try their hardest to get it from them.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen it so many times.
That's always the case.
Always.
Yeah, that's always.
Yeah.
It's been very sad. It's very heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So he's good at doing good things out there. In addition to what he's doing in PA, it's like, you know, multi-layers, and that's what makes an interesting human being. Sponsor roll call.
There we go.
Here we go. Who do we love? Who do we love? Come on.
I've been using it every
night. Give me something. Oh, geez. All right. We could do two at the same time.
What was it?
We love Topperson. Why do we love Topperson?
Because it works.
You know, and Lou Paradise was on the show 2 weeks ago.
Yes, he was.
And, you know, we can't say enough about this product. It is just...
is amazing.
I mean,
I gave it to a couple of my clients, and they came back like, you know, oh, my God, where do I get it?
Mm-hmm.
Where do they get it?
They get it everywhere.
There
really
you
big.
Go.
I mean, they give it. They get it. Years ago, when we were first doing this, we just had a list of some shows.
Just like three people.
Now, I think you get it
everywhere.
You could get it. And, you know, the beauty thing is if you can't find it, the name is recognizable that the store that you want to order it will.
Just order them online, right? Just go to
www.topperson.com.
There you go.
And if you mention the Bridal Body Shop, and our code is TOPFIT30, you get a discount on a jar, on a tube, foot formula, afterburner cream. What else? Topperson Jr.
Mm-hmm.
What else? Come on.
Oh, the afterburn, we said
foot
afterburn.
Foot formula.
And
the fibromyalgia cream.
But they're all fibromyalgia.
They
have their own now?
They have their own, yeah. Yeah, we took a picture, I think, with it.
Never got it.
We did it with the afterburn.
The afterburn,
Okay. But they have everything. You go to their website, and you will find something that fits you. Foot formula works great on my dancers. Fantastic.
That's what I've been using.
But you could really use it any place, honestly.
Okay.
I've used foot formula on my back, and it helps.
I'm telling you, the Tapasin is strong enough to go anywhere.
Yeah, it definitely is. So we love them. They love us. Bruises love them more. Tapasin. Tapasin.com. Order. Mention the Bridal Body Shop. Get a discount. Order today. What magazine do we love?
Muscle Sport.
Yeah, we love Muscle Sport, and I'll tell you why, Elite. It's all meat, no filler. And
a lot of meat.
10,000 Instagram followers.
Let me tell you, there's a lot of meat in that magazine.
Instagram followers. And you know what's nice about it is it's a fairly young magazine, but they're getting more and more really cool writers. And
mm-hmm.
the writers that are there, they're getting are the ones that we remember, all these, like, old bodybuilders.
All right. It's the old school bodybuilders that are writing about the new fitness.
I was looking at pictures.
New bodybuilding stuff.
In I think, the last issue, and I saw a picture of Frank Zane. Frank Zane, Elite.
And he was considered, like, a small bodybilder.
But I think he had the,
honestly, he had the best body, though.
I don't know. It's so hard to say.
Right.
He looked very healthy.
Very small.
He could have accumulated that muscle. I mean, Jack LaLanne was small. Jack LaLanne was slight.
Right, but he was natural.
He was very natural.
You could tell.
But, and Frank Zane, and I think he was in his 70s in that picture, and he still looked good. I think he passed. He passed, didn't he?
Frank Zane?
I think he did.
I don't remember.
There's
an
older picture from like 5 years ago, but I think he passed. But one of my favorites. And,
well, you know who I saw?
Who?
He was a very small guy, big bodybuilder years ago. He actually has like protein bars out. Oh, man.
Lee Liberata?
Liv.
Yeah.
I saw him in the magazine.
He's still around, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He, oh, my God, who else?
He's been around for years, too.
I forgot who else. Tom Platz had a product out, and then he kind of went by the wayside.
Either way, if you're into bodybuilding and our age, you'll remember who everybody is.
These guys, you know, even if they're not new, just listening to interviews with these guys, they've been around
the circuit.
So Muscle Sport Mag, go to their website, and you could order online. And I think there's a special promo discount this month, so give them a look. See, and you know, the beautiful thing is, if you don't like the magazine, you'll get it again. But if you are really interested in informative data, that's the magazine for you.
Yeah.
Muscle Sport Magazine.
Hardly any advertising.
.com. All meat, no filler. Next sponsor. Who is thinking about leasing a car, Lee Ziegelman? Who's thinking about it?
I have a year to go.
Oh, that's right.
All I do is lease.
Yeah.
I love leasing.
That's all you have is a year? It went so quick.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, it's a year and
you
a half,
shocked
really.
Me.
Labor Day. Not this Labor Day coming, but
the following
Labor
okay,
Day.
Okay, because I'm saying, I think it's...
But you always could trade it in, you know, earlier.
Well, Gem Auto Leasing.
Which I heard was fantastic.
Yeah. And all kinds. Every single type
of car.
Or make of car that you could have, that you have fantasized about, is there. And they're very hands-on, and what they do is they do the work for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to bother anymore. I just don't want to bother. Do it for me. I'll give you the money. Do it for me.
That's what they do.
I don't want paperwork.
Tell them the car you want. They look up the best prices for you. You know, I'm sure they come back and they tell you, you know, what we have available.
Mm-hmm.
And it's up to you to agree or not, or if you want something else with an interim, change your mind of a car, change it.
And you know what?
I saw this beautiful Mercedes.
I saw that.
Did you see that?
Oh, yeah.
What a sleek little car.
I wouldn't fit in it,
but it was nice.
No. Well, you would fit in the convertible, my darling.
Yeah, but
always down.
Yeah, always up.
Always open. Yeah, always open. Baby, little head sticking out.
Yeah,
that
would
look
like
a
big weeble in a little
car. Oh no! Look, come on, people of 6'4" go in.
Yeah, but I don't know. I like to have room. That's why I would get a 4x4 if I went to them.
And you know what they say?
Mm-hmm.
This is their mantra. If you dream it, you could drive it.
Perfect.
And that's really,
because
there's somebody there listening now and saying, you know what, yeah, I want to get this car. This is one-stop shopping. All makes under one roof. And give them a call at 718-646-7255. gem one, and I'll break it down for you. I don't have the breakdown here, so I'm just going to read it again. 746, gem one. I had the breakdown last week. I don't have the breakdown this week. I was going to give
a phone
cell
number. You can give a cell number.
I'm not going to give somebody's cell number out. I refuse to leave Ziegelman.
It's on the card.
Yeah, but you know what?
Not important. Call that number, you'll get both.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And go to their website. Just, you know what, the best thing about Google now, being we were talking about
before, you could always find everybody.
Is you just, you know, just Google it, and it brings you right to their website, Facebook page. All of that is there. So give them a call. And ask for Diane Lasky. She is the president. So, and tell her, Lori and Elite, say hi.
Hello.
We'll see what she does for you. She might not do anything, but she might do.
She'll probably hang up on you, but who knows?
She might do a little something. Or not. And that's our show.
Nished.
That's it. That's it, my friend. It's over. So, I'd like to thank.
Thank you.
First of all, thank Peter Shankman for being on. So, it was great having him. And, yeah.
Very cool.
And a busy man is he, and we're happy that he took out time from his day, because I know he had a million things to do today, and he stopped by to say hello to us. So we appreciate that. We will have all the info on our Facebook page tomorrow, so look for it there. Of course, I have to thank my lovely co-host.
You better thank me.
Elite Ziegelman, for riding shotgun with me, sporting a new hairdo.
Thank you.
Looking fabulous.
Thank you so much.
And making the show fun. Salute, it's
thank
true.
You.
A salute.
I told you, I get these allergies out of nowhere.
I want a sneeze button. We need a sneeze button. You know, that's what we need. Well, we just cover your little face when you do that. That's all. So you're not on mic. And that's our show. And we hope that everybody found it informative and fun. And basically what we're saying to you is go out, do something productive for yourself, for the universe, but most of all for your body. Invest well in it, and the returns are amazing.
Yes.
We promise you. So we will see you next week. And we hope that you see fit to make exercise a part of your life. Take us home, Elite.
You got it.